It is 8:41. A new year is upon us, and symbolically, it's like closing one book and opening another, which makes us wonder, what will the new year bring? Will we stay in our jobs? Will we meet that special person? What are the chances that we'll win the lottery? Of course, these are unknowns, but to a statistician, there are probabilities attached to each one of these scenarios. Jeffrey Rosenthal knows all about the odds in the game of life. He's a professor of statistics at the University of Toronto, and he's also author of Struck by Lightning, The Curious World of Probabilities. He's here in the studio with a forecast for 2012. Hi, Jeffrey, and Happy New Year.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. First of all, to a statistician, what is a probability?
Well, probability is our way of trying to assess the chances that something will happen. So it can depend on the circumstance, and we won't usually know if it's going to happen or not, but it's a way to try to assess the balance and say which things are quite likely to happen, which things aren't so likely, and so on.
Okay, when I say odds, can I use those two words interchangeably?
Yeah, pretty much. You say the odds or the probability or the chances.
The chances, yeah. Well, generally speaking, do we tend to take the probability of an event seriously? And I guess I'm thinking of, you know, the lottery I mentioned, or maybe even something more dire like a plane crashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think people tend to misassess certain probabilities, especially of things which are quite unlikely, like let's say winning the lottery jackpot. I mean, lots of people think, you know, I bought my ticket, I really think I'm going to win this week, and they just don't appreciate how small the odds are of winning, and it's just not going to happen. And the same with, yeah, people will be afraid they're in an airplane and they think it's going to crash, and not appreciating just how unlikely it is that a commercial flight is going to crash. So I think people tend to overestimate the probabilities, both good and bad, of things that are very unlikely.
You know what it is, too? I think it's because in people's minds, they think, okay, I know the odds are low, but what if I'm the one? Right? The one in 10 million. That's what they focus on.
That's what they focus on. That's right. And again, I think it's a question of not really appreciating, like let's say with the lottery jackpot, just appreciating just how unlikely that is. It's just not worth even considering the chance that you're going to be
really?
The one, because it's so unlikely.
Okay, but hold it. I have a feeling that we have many more lotteries now. Have our chances gone up at winning?
Well, not so much. I mean, no? Just because there's more lotteries doesn't really help you. The real question might be, I guess, how many tickets you buy. But even if you buy, you know, a few different tickets instead of one, still the odds, you know, we're talking odds of tens of millions to one. And so just buying a few tickets instead of one ticket, it's still very unlikely.
Right. What's the actual stat? I'm curious. I mean, for example, if I was to buy one ticket a week, right, for let's say like a Lotto 649, what would be my chances of winning? Because I know many people who do buy one ticket a week.
Right. Yeah, if you buy, well, one ticket a week, so you buy 52 tickets over the year for the Lotto 649, you'll still have only about one chance in 270,000 of winning over the course of the year. Another way to think about it is if you do that every year, then you'll win the jackpot about once every 270,000 years, so not very often.
That's way better than one in a million.
Well, it is, because you bought 52 tickets instead of one. It's still not very good odds, and you spent all that money.
All right. Okay, how about this one? Many people, because it's the new year, they've made this New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose weight. So what are the chances that I'm going to lose weight this
year? Right. Well, it is interesting.
I mean, not necessarily me particularly,
no, of course
I guess.
Not you. You don't need to lose weight, but people like me, maybe. But it's interesting. I mean, I did find a study from a few years ago where they followed a bunch of people over a two-year period and said, how did their weights go? And they found that 45% of those people, their weight actually went up over the two-year period, and another 32%, their weight went down, and another 23%, their weight stayed about the same. So there's a bit of a mix, but one thing that was maybe a little bit positive is they found that of the people who were already overweight, their gain tended to be less, and in fact, of the most overweight, or people who were actually classified as obese, they actually lost weight on average. So it does suggest that people who are a little heavier tend to lose a little more weight overall.
Do you know what? There are some people in the control room who think they're overweight and they're cheering now because they like hearing that news.
Well, there you go. Glad to help.
Okay, but to be fair, that is only one study, right?
Sure.
That you're mentioning.
Yeah, sure. And of course, it'll depend on the individual, what effort you make, whether you try to join a program. Of course, it's hard to get all the facts and figures because, of course, the weight loss programs don't always want to tell you about all the people who tried and failed to lose weight.
Yeah,
with their
true
program,
enough.
So, yeah.
Okay, what about some seasonal scenarios? I mean, we're in winter. Many of us are going to head out skiing or snowboarding. What's the probability that we may have an accident and injure ourselves?
Right.
Even seriously.
Yeah, well, that's something else that I looked at. So if you're worried about, first of all, fatalities from skiing, that is very, very rare. And one study estimated it's only about one chance in 1.5 million if you go skiing for the day that you'll actually die in a skiing accident. So that's very unlikely.
Okay.
But injuries, of course, minor injuries might not even be reported. But of the injuries which were serious enough to be reported, there was about one such one for every 380 different ski days. So in other words, there's about one chance in 380 on average if you go skiing for the day that you'll have a serious injury serious enough to report. And again, of course, it depends on your individual habits. If you're a cautious skier, then the chances are much less.
That's still not too bad.
It's not too
one
bad.
In
That's
383.
Right. So it's not as bad as you might think.
What about something, possibly even more dire, suffering from hypothermia? Because every year, right, people do suffer from hypothermia in the winter.
Yeah, that's right. So, of course, there could be mild hypothermia, which isn't even reported. But of the people who are recorded as dying from hypothermia in Canada, it's about 140 people a year, which works out to about one person in 240,000 a year. So it's actually quite small, although it's also been pointed out that sometimes people, the official cause of death might be something else. Maybe it's from drowning or from alcohol poisoning or from a heart attack or something, but it could be indirectly caused by the cold or the hypothermia too. So it's not completely cured, but it's not very likely that you'll actually die from hypothermia.
Quite rare.
But the chance that you'll be kind of cold and get a little bit of hypothermia, that's higher.
Okay. let's move to somewhere warm now.
Okay.
Many people are booking holidays in the next couple of months, and they might be heading south. And this is something I find that people often talk about when they go away. Hey, I couldn't believe it. I ran into so-and-so, a friend of mine or a neighbor or somebody I know from the office. So let's say we've got this family and they're heading south to Disney World, right? What are the chances that they're going to run into somebody they know?
Yeah, well, it is interesting. And in fact, I talk about a scenario in my book, which is actually a true story from me in my teens, where my family did actually go to Florida, and sure enough, over a couple of days in Florida, we ran into my father's cousin, Phil, just in the middle of nowhere. It's like, wow, what are the odds? We didn't know he was going to Florida. He didn't know we were going. And then you think, you know, that's a case where people will tend to think the probability is actually less than it is. I'll think, you know, it's a one in a million. It must be a miracle. It must, you know, really be telling me something. And so in the book, I go through trying to work it out. And one thing you have to realize is there's a whole bunch of different people that you know that if you ran into them, that would be really surprising. It's not just one cousin of your dad's, but it's all your relatives and all your high school friends and so on. So you've got a whole bunch of chances. And also, when you go on a trip, you're going to see a whole bunch of people in lineups and hotel lobbies and so on. So it just has to be that of all the people you see in all those lobbies and so on, that one of them is somebody that you've seen before. And when you put it all together, it's still not that likely, but I worked it out to something like one chance in 230 that on a given trip for a couple days, that you'll run into somebody completely unexpectedly.
That's pretty high, I think. Which one in 230?
Yeah, it's fairly high. And then when you think, you know, you go on a whole bunch of different trips over the course of your life. And in fact, I've done this as a bit of an experiment sometimes if I'm giving a talk to a group and I'll say, you know, just by a show of hands, how many people would say you have some story of some time where, you know, you were completely out of the blue, you ran into somebody completely unexpectedly. And usually over half of the audience will actually put up their hands, which makes sense to me because it's saying after a lifetime of traveling, you actually do have a pretty good chance that at some point it's going to happen. So that's a case where people think the odds are actually much lower than they really are.
You see, when you explain it out like that, it does make sense. Because I think one of the key things you said was, think about all the people you know.
That's
true. It's not just that one
that's
cousin.
Right.
You may know hundreds or thousands of people.
Exactly.
Even.
Probably at least a few hundred that you'd be extremely surprised to see. And at the same time, you're going to see actually thousands of people over the course of a trip, you know, all the people you run into in the airport and everything. So it just has to be one of those thousands of people that matches up with one of the hundreds of people that you know.
Okay, what about the chances of our plane going down when we fly down there? I know that sounds very morbid, but people do think that, and they're afraid of flying.
Yeah, no, it's true. And in fact, in my own case, it's actually true that I used to be a little bit of a nervous flyer. Like I'd be in the plane and I'd be thinking, oh, you know, there's a little rain and, well, you know, I just felt a little jerk.
Is
and
this before or after you were a statistician?
Before, well, actually, at least before I wrote the book, because I'd be just a little nervous. And then when I started, you know, looking into these facts for the book, I realized there's only about one chance in 5 million that a commercial flight will have any kind of an accident involving fatalities. So it's extremely unlikely. And what it means is, you know, worry about being late or worry about having a rotten meal on the plane or worry about these other things. But don't worry about the plane crashing. It's just not going to happen. And when you start thinking that way now, you know, I'm just not nervous when I feel a little thing in the plane or I see a little rain. It's like, it's okay. We're not going to crash.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you convinced yourself from the stats not to be nervous.
Yeah, I think you
can.
You just have to really think about how low the probability is, and then you can convince yourself.
And what about you know, people who are single may be wondering, oh, what are the chances I'm going to get married in 2012? Or people who are married, what about getting divorced? And what about having children? What about those scenarios?
Yeah, well, they're all interesting. Now, of course, those are cases where, in a way, it doesn't really make sense to talk about just the overall probabilities because everybody's individual circumstance is different. But if you do want to think about just choosing, you know, a random of a delt. So if you say, let's say a random adult who's single in Canada, what's the chance that they will get married this year? It works out to about one chance in 37. So there's about 150,000 marriages each year. So that's two people getting married for each of 150,000 times. There's about 11 million single adults in Canada. So it's about one chance in 37 that if you pick a random single adult, they're going to get married this year.
So when you say single adult, do you mean over the age of 18?
Yeah, 18 and over.
One in 37?
Yeah, for this year. Hmm. I mean, remember, not everyone's trying to get married this year.
So. True, that's right.
That's just the overall.
Okay, What about kids?
Okay, yeah. So, okay, I did for divorce and for kids. So, let's see. For kids, I guess if you look at the females, I took females who were aged 15 to 44, which we could think of as the childbearing years approximately. Then, there's about 380,000 babies born a year in Canada, but there's just under 7 million of Canadian females in that age range. And if you put it together, works out to about one chance in 18 if you pick a random female of childbearing years.
15 seems pretty young, eh?
Yeah, well, that's true.
It probably is.
That's true. You could adjust it a bit if you wanted to just take 18.
Yeah, maybe like 20.
First, I did 18 to 44, but I thought, you know, who am I kidding? There's people of all ages having kids. But anyway, roughly speaking, one chance in 18, let's say.
Okay. So you've been doing this for a while. Right, the stats game.
The stats game.
I mean, yeah, and you talk to a lot of people
and you observe
people's behavior.
Right.
Based on that, would you say people tend to see life in an optimistic way, so, you know, the glass half full, or in a pessimistic way?
Well, it's interesting. I guess I'd say it's a mix, and I don't see it so much as, you know, everyone thinks it's always going to be good or everyone thinks it's always going to be bad, but I do notice that people tend to misassess probabilities in certain ways, and in particular, often it's based on how much they feel they're in control. So I've used the example of, let's say, even though if you have to go to another city, it's actually safer to fly than it is to drive, but a lot of people will feel safer in the car because in the car somehow they're in control. They have the steering wheel. They figure, you know, I'm okay. I can figure out how to deal with this, whereas in the plane, it's some guy in the cockpit that you've never met, and who knows what's going to happen. So I think there's a sense that the more people feel in control, the more they think it's going to work out,
which
is not always right if you look at the statistics.
Right, because it's way more likely you're going to have a car accident than in a plane crash. If you go to another city,
then it's much safer to fly than to drive, and yet people will kind of feel the opposite, I think, because of the sense of control. So.
Wow, that's so interesting. Do you know what? Did you hear back from people who read your book? And I'm wondering whether, after reading it, they felt safer about certain things because now they knew the facts, or did they feel actually less safe?
Yeah, well, I have heard from people who feel safer because one of the points I make in the book and in my talks is that certain things we worry about aren't that likely. And so I once gave a talk and I gave the example of if you're thinking of traveling to a country, but you think, I better not go there because I heard there was, you know, some terrorist activity, or I heard that it was kind of unsafe. And so I go through some of the numbers of how unlikely it is that you, while you're traveling, will be a victim of something like that. And someone came up to me afterwards and says, you know, I was considering traveling to the Middle East, but I wasn't sure, but after hearing your lecture, I can see it's fine. I'm going to go travel. So, you know, I hear that kind of thing a fair bit, and I think it's good to realize that these things we worry about aren't always as likely to worry about as we think.
It's fascinating stuff. Thanks so much, Jeffrey,
for some of
your probabilities for 2012.
Thank you very much.
Jeffrey Rosenthal is a professor of statistics at the University of Toronto. He's also the author of Struck by Lightning, The Curious World of Probabilities. It's published by HarperCollins.